It's now time for the Spirit Mornings Good Book Club on Spirit Catholic Radio. As we open the Bible, let God's Word provide peace. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one set. And likewise, you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps, so that it may be one tabernacle. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall all have the same measurements. And you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps. Put the clasps into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And a cubit on one side, and a cubit on the other side, of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent, shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it. You shall also make a covering of ram skins dyed red for the tent, and a covering of badger skins above that. And for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle, and you shall make the boards for the tabernacle 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle, westward, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards on the side of the tabernacle, for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain. you shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the four pillars of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon four sockets of silver, and you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the Ark of the Testimony in there, behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil, and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them.
All right. The word of promise. Exodus 26. Good stuff. Wow. Want to know how to make a tabernacle?
Detailed, yeah, detailed information.
Details, details.
And we're going to get information about all of those details from Deacon Harold. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, noted speaker throughout the globe, is going to help us.
That's
and
right.
He writes books about the Bible. Thanks be to God, he can tell us about these observations. So, Deacon Harold, good morning.
Yeah, we can say, here we go, loop-de-loop.
Good morning.
initial observation, Deacon Harold.
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, the tabernacle, which is called the Mishkan in Hebrew, is a portable sanctuary. Because remember, we're talking about the time here when they're still nomadic. They're still wandering through the desert for 40 years. The first permanent temple wasn't built till Solomon, of course, which is David's son. So right now it's a series of movable tents. And the tabernacle had the Ark of the Covenant was inside. So remember, the Ark of the Covenant had the staff of Aaron, the Ten Commandments, and the manna from heaven. We also see some of the colors that are used are purple and scarlet. Those are royal colors, right? And of course, we're again, talking about some of these things pointing toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, they clothed him with purple, during his suffering and right before he was crucified. The cherubim are angels who are guardians of the Mishkan. The cherubim were angels who served closest to the throne of God, along with the seraphim. Just to give people the idea of the size of this thing, it talks about cubit, this many cubits, 40 cubits, 5 cubits. A cubit is 18 inches long. So if you go back and do the math, you can see about approximately how big this thing was. The covering of the tent in verse 14, it talks about ram and goat skin. Those were animals that were offered in sacrifice. And they also used in verse 15 acacia wood, which is a hardwood that was long-lasting and durable. You know why? Just like God's relationship with his people, right? And also talked about the next verse, 16, tenons. These were projections at the end of a piece of wood for insertion into a mortise to make a joint, right? So that's how they kind of joined two pieces of wood together, because back then they didn't have glue, right?
Yeah.
Then we talked about the mercy seat in verse 34. The mercy seat is the lid on the Ark of the Covenant. And that may sound familiar, because remember, in the New Testament, when Zechariah went into the Holy of Holies to throw incense on the mercy seat, when the angel Gabriel came to him and said that his wife Elizabeth is going to be pregnant with John the Baptist. The Ark of Testimony is just another name for the Ark of the Covenant. And the lampstand, if you look in Leviticus 24, verses 2 and following, it talked about the lampstand had to be present and the light had to be kept burning continually when the Ark of the Covenant was present. So because the Mishkan was the presence of God among his people, the light had to be kept burning. Why is that important? Remember, when we have the tabernacle in our churches that has the Blessed Sacrament in it, we have a light that's continually burning. So we're seeing here some of the very roots of the practice that we have today in our church as Catholics.
All right. Deacon, Exodus 26 is what we're covering today. Those are some of the initial observations. Let's move to a word that we hear a bit and maybe give us an explanation of what exegesis is and how that plays into chapter 26 of Exodus.
Yeah, so exegesis is just a fancy word for trying to understand both what's called the literal historical sense and the spiritual senses of Scripture. For example, why is this even in the Bible? This many cubits, that many spans. I mean, it's like boring. I can fall asleep after a while. Okay, what's all the detail about? Well, there's a couple of things behind this. First of all, the God of Israel, Yahweh, is a God of order and reason. Right. And we see that the same kind of ordering in the book of Genesis and creation. Right. There's a logic. There's a sense. There's a rhythm. There's a reason, you know, that God is not just arbitrary. The decisions and the will of God are not just arbitrary. And this idea transfers to the moral order and to the ways of living, you know, but very important. And also, this is also a test to see if Israel was willing to follow God's commands, to trust the Lord completely. Everybody say, okay, why is it 40 cubits, not 39 cubits, you know, or something like that? Like, why does it have to be 40? The only thing about it is about trusting God. And the ark was important because later we would see that they brought the Ark of the Covenant into battle. So in Joshua chapter 4, for example, you see the Ark of the Covenant being brought into battle. Why? Because they wanted the presence of God with them when they were fighting against their enemies. And finally, during the time of David, you remember the Ark had moved to Bethlehem and it stayed in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for about 3 months. And then it was put into a special tent on Mount Zion until the temple was built. And we see that in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verses 10 through 12. And that's important when we look at its fulfillment of the Ark of the Covenant in the New Testament.
So exegesis, Deacon Harold, as we look at this chapter in Exodus, we find out that God is a God of order and reason. There is nothing that is arbitrary as we see all these bits and pieces that come together to make the Ark of the Covenant. And then the fulfillment of this in the New Testament.
Yes. And so this is actually a beautiful connection. And one of the reasons I love being Catholic, because we make these connections. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the new Mishkan. She's the new dwelling place for the Lord. Right. In Luke 1:35, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Right. And the word there is episkiazo in Greek, or a Shekinah in Hebrew. It's the visible manifestation of the glory of God, right? And we see this, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 8. It says, when the priest came out from the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So if you look at the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, when you look at the word for the cloud of glory, the glory cloud, the Shekinah, it's the same word in Greek, episkiazo, which is used for the Blessed Virgin Mary. So just the same word that's used for the cloud that filled the house of the Lord, that filled the Mishkan, that filled the tabernacle with God's presence, Mary, the Holy Spirit, comes upon Mary and fills her with the presence of God as well. She becomes the new tabernacle. And we see this, of course, in Revelation chapter 19, 11, verse 19. John is having visions, and in his visions, he sees in Revelation 11, 19, the God's temple in heaven was open and the Ark of the Covenant was seen in the temple. And the very next line is Revelation 12, 1. And a great portent appeared in heaven, and the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, on her head a crown of 12 stars. So next to each other in the visions of heaven, he sees the old Ark of the Covenant in God's temple and the new Ark of the Covenant, the Blessed Virgin Mary, side by side in his visions in the book of Revelation. And we also see in Luke chapter 1, Mary arose and went into the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And remember, we just saw also in the 2 Samuel chapter 6, where the Ark of the Covenant, you know, David took the Ark of the Covenant and brought it to the house of Obed-Edom, right? And it stayed there for 3 months. And Mary stays with Elizabeth and Zechariah for 3 months. right? And when David was in the presence of the ark, he began to dance for joy in the presence of the ark. And of course, John the Baptist leaps in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary because he is in the presence of God in the new Ark of the Covenant. So some very beautiful connections here.
Wow.
Oh, gorgeous.
I love that.
Deacon Harold Berg Sivers with us. We are covering Exodus, and chapter 26 is the object of our attention today. And Deacon, one of the things that I was thinking of as we go through this, and we're listening to the word of promise, and it was the voice of God talking how to construct this tabernacle, and there was a lot of instructions that went into it. And the Hebrew people at this point are away from Pharaoh. They're in the desert. How often would they have to take this up and put it together and take it down to travel? And that would be quite a process, I would imagine.
That's right. That's right. And that's the other thing, too, because God is a God of order and structure. Even though they're moving around and they're nomadic, what stays present with them is the Ark of the Covenant, is the presence of the Lord.
Right.
And so the instructions were also there because they have to remember how to put it back together again when they got to the next places they were moving through the desert. And our lives are like that, isn't it? You know, our lives is like that journey. You know, sometimes we have great things that are happening in our lives. We have things that are questioning. We're like, what's going on right now? We have some amazing things that happen. But through all the midst of the ups and the downs and the twists and the turns of life, what's constant is God's presence with us. Mm-hmm. Even though it may not feel like he's there sometimes, even though, you know, we feel God's presence strongly, sometimes we're questioning what God is doing in our lives. His presence is constant in our lives, just like that ark. No matter what was going on in the lives of Israel, the ark was present and God's presence was always with them. You know, but the mistake they made, remember, the Ark of the Covenant got captured because there were a lot, you know, the Ark became kind of like, of course we're going to win this, you know, because God is, you know, presence is with us. And they slacked up on praying, you know, that they weren't worshiping with their hearts. They were just saying, well, the Ark is coming. Of course we're going to win. So they got lazy, huh? They got lazy.
Yeah.
And God allowed the Ark to be taken from them. So we can't be lazy in our faith, especially in this culture today that's working to try to literally kill God's life in us. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to trust God no matter what's going on in our lives.
Answer to all the things going on, make sure our prayer life is even more fruitful in the fear-mongering society that we have. And one of the things that I can see this ark being put together and God put in place in his orderly mind, he put the loops in and the poles in. So it wasn't easy, you know, one piece would be one, you know, make this so it's all one piece. It was put together so it would easily be moved, carried by individuals. You know, he made this an easy thing to do. He made you understand exactly what he is doing. I can see it. I can literally see what is in my mind, what was being put together, even though I'm not welding it and all those things to the exact specifications. But I can see what the end product would be, what they would be moving as the people of the Israelite people would be moving. And another thing I had a chance to experience, Deacon Harold, I went to, in Cleveland, Ohio, I went to a Russian Orthodox church one time and got a tour, and they still have this area called the Holy of Holies. And they have behind that, all the things that were explained, like the lampstand they have a lot of the things that were explained in this very chapter right here. And it was just, I was bringing back all that flood of memories of the deacon there explaining, Deacon Mike explaining all those things to me. And there are churches that hold fast to this day, Deacon Harold.
Oh, absolutely. You know, even our own church, we still have the presence of Christ in the tabernacle, right? Where that's our Holy of Holies, where the presence of Christ, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist resides, right? And in that Holy of Holies, we have the light, usually a red light, that's there burning, because the presence of the Lord is there as well. And the beautiful detail that went into building the ark, that's where we get the foundation for the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because God, the detail that went into creating the Blessed Mother, right, creating the Ark of the Covenant, something that was unique, something that was special, something that and his only purpose for existing was to be the vessel to carry the presence of the Lord. And Mary was created to be that vessel, to the new tabernacle, to carry the presence of the Lord. And so the beautiful detail that went into creating the Blessed Mother, you know, and it, on the only thing that was inside the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, the staff of Aaron, and the manna from heaven. And the three things inside the Blessed Virgin Mary, right, the staff that represented he was the shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The Ten Commandments, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then finally, of course, the manna from heaven. John chapter 6 says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert and they died, but who eats this bread will live forever, because the bread that I give you is my flesh for the life of the world. So we've not thrown out the beautiful details of the Old Testament. We see their fulfillment in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right, mother's talk about there is fulfilled for us these days. Wonderful. Deacon Harold Burke-Siver is with us in Exodus chapter 26. DeaconHarold.com, find out more about him. And Deacon, could we ask you to impart a blessing for our day as we conclude?
May Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the Good Book Club. It's heard Monday through Friday on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.